This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today, it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And Reiner, you can send us questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. You can call us during our weekly radio broadcast. You can also go to drhoffman.com, and on the homepage, if you're using a PC or Mac, you'll see there's a rectangular box on the right side, and if you click on that, it'll prompt you to enter a question, and that's a question that will be recorded, and we'll use it as grist for the mill for our weekly radio program. So lots of ways to get questions to us. Please make them succinct and not too, shall we say, open-ended, because sometimes a question is so complex that it requires a one-to-one consultation. So what's our next question, Layla?
Okay, we've got an email from Joe. Dr. Hoffman, I recently underwent a Mohs micrographic surgical procedure to remove melanoma. Unfortunately, it was located on my face, and now I'm left with a 3-inch gash.
Yikes.
Needless to say, I'd be very interested in preventing future occurrences. Now, my conventional doctors keep reciting to me about sunblock, but what sorts of supplements can I take to stop or slow any previously sustained sun damage areas or from converting to malignant cells? And another question Joe has, Dr. Hoffman, he's very concerned about all the negative press about antioxidants and possibly causing cancer that I know you and I have addressed in the past.
Yeah, that's actually a bigger topic than the melanoma questions. So when it comes to melanoma, you know, I've often kind of sprung a trick question on in our pop quizzes that we sometimes put up at drhoffman.com. We're due for another one. We're doing a Test Your Health IQ series, and I think we'll do another one soon. Is what part of your home is the part of your home that puts you at most risk for melanoma? A, poolside. B, your living room. C, your bathroom. D, your kitchen. And the answer, trick question, is not poolside. It's your kitchen, because melanoma can occur in people who don't have a lot of sun exposure in places where the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
Melanoma of the vagina is not completely rare. Melanoma of the rectum can occur. And so it is sun-related to a certain extent. It's true. But, you know, avoiding the sun after you've had melanoma is like shutting the barn door after the horse gets out. It's actually been shown that higher levels of vitamin D are associated with lower risk for melanoma. So while you don't want to broil, it's too late to do anything about that, you know, terrible series of sunburns that you got in the summer of 69. You know, that was just,
And then you slather on noxema.
You just turn
cool the skin. Yeah, the eucalyptus and stuff.
Right. You know, so that's when the origin of these cancers that emerge decades later. Yeah. So suggestion is that vitamin D has a preventive effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, recently there was an article that suggests that taking a lot of Viagra was associated with a higher risk of melanoma, strangely enough. And it's not clear why. Yeah, it's not clear why. Yeah. But does something. But that's also been challenged. I would say, you know, go on a really wonderful anti-cancer program. Let's talk about some of the anti-cancer nutrients that you can use. I would use, you know, curcumin, lycopene. EGCG from green tea. There's some evidence that you can prevent skin cancer with, again, we'll talk about vitamin B3. We talked about it last in part one about glaucoma prevention, but it doesn't seem to do much for melanoma. It's more for basal cell and squamous cell cancers, not melanoma. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We also know that not all melanoma is about sun damage either. And it's like the things that you cite, cancer, melanoma of the vagina, the rectum, the sole of the foot. A lot may have to do with diet, or many cancers have so much to do with diet,
mm-hmm.
a very pro-inflammatory diet.
Yeah.
So that might also be something.
Yeah. And, you know, so eat as if every meal counts, with lots of beneficial polyphenols and spices. For cancer prevention.
Carotenoids.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little fat with that. Don't have a fat-free salad dressing. Use some good quality olive oil tomatoes.
To help you absorb the lycopene and the lutein and all those beneficial carotenoids.
Yeah.
Not that much is known about prevention of melanoma, I'll be quite frank. I mean, we have a much better handle on prevention and treatment of something like breast cancer, prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. I think one supplement to stay away from for sure would be tyrosine, because it's actually a building block for melanin, which, may go into the process of developing, melanoma cells. So we may want to restrict that particular amino acid. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So to the antioxidant controversy, oh boy.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Right.
But antioxidants cause cancer?
Some antioxidants may feed a cancer, like N-acetylcysteine, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at worst, antioxidants may not be a panacea against cancer.
Right.
On the other hand,
not an already established cancer, right.
And there are some studies that say that synthetic beta-carotene given alone in smokers,
yeah.
are probably also alcoholics. In one study, not only didn't reduce the incidence of lung cancer, but slightly increased it. So I think it's very circumstantial evidence. It's almost like profiling supplements. It's like, say someone of a certain ethnic group or religion commits a crime, and you just say, all those people are criminals. We should deport them all, or we should, we should profile them all.
Yeah.
And, supplements, antioxidants are very diverse. And so because a synthetic form of vitamin A failed to prevent cancer in one scenario, where I think these men were very highly at risk for lung cancer, does not suggest that taking antioxidants somehow feeds cancer or makes it grow.
We know for a fact that vitamin C, if anything, is a deterrent to any future cancer growth. Mm-hmm.
And also, we use very high dose vitamin C, massive doses of vitamin C, in some very successful adjunctive cancer treatment. I won't say that intravenous vitamin C is a miracle panacea against cancer, but it's a great adjunct to other types of therapy. It can be used in conjunction with radiation and chemotherapy very safely, and it renders it more effective. It's a painting with a broad brush to say that antioxidants,
And I would like to caution Joe about the use of sunblock. You want to make sure that you're not slathering on a whole lot of toxic ingredients that can be carcinogenic.
That too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As well as estrogenic, gender benders, all of that kind of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you want to, and I think a good website is environmentalworkinggroup.org, EWG.org, and Safe Cosmetics. I believe it's safecosmetics.com, but it may be another .org, but I know they're linked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good place to start looking for safer ingredients so that you could get a good, safer sunblock if Joe's going to be using sunblock.
I think we're replying directly to Joe's question is that, as I Google this, there have been several articles, antioxidants speed cancer in mice. They were talking about N-acetylcysteine at vitamin E. Mm-hmm. They were also, and who knows what type of vitamin E. It might have been the dry
alpha-tocopherol,
or even worse, succinate.
Which on its own is dangerous. Yeah.
And here's one from Scientific American. Antioxidant may make cancer worse. This is when mice, human, and it was in melanoma cells. So, you know, in an abundance of caution, because of studies like that, I would say, you know, maybe don't take N-acetylcysteine. But here's one interesting, you know, there's always contradictions because I'm looking, you know, as I look at this, N-acetylcysteine enhances the lung cancer inhibitory effect of EGCG. Okay, so I guess what we could say, if you have, you want to prevent cancer, those things are helpful. But if you were to have active cancer, it maybe flips the switch, and where maybe the cancer can utilize some of these nutrients. I don't generally use, do you use NAC in cancer patients? I don't use NAC in cancer patients.
No, not necessarily, no.
No, I don't.
Okay. I like it for lung health, for detox, for liver, general immune wellness, all of that.
Yeah.
But
there's a duality to things. So, for example, in preventing cancer, folate is very helpful for preventing cancer. It's conceivable that if you have active cancer, that you may not want to take high-dose folate.
Right.
Okay? So there's a duality to that.
That's true.
And certain B vitamins. B vitamins, see, methylation turns on and turns off cancer simultaneously.
Mm.
So, it's complicated. We try to stay on top of this for you folks, and we're, you know, weighing the evidence constantly because we don't want to expose our patients to unnecessary risk just to, you know, shower them with vitamins.
Right.
Because
there
may be consequences, and we always look at the latest science. So thanks for that interesting question.
Yeah, Joe, thank you, and best of luck to you. We hope you're feeling better soon.
Indeed.
Well, speaking of smoking.
Oh, hey, you know, speaking of speaking, let's stop speaking because we want to because we want to give one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this message with you. So let's pause for a moment for this announcement. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Okay, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what bring Intelligent Medicine to you on a continuous basis as a free resource. My favorite four-letter word that starts with F in the English language, free, F-R-E-E. All right, back to Intelligent Medicine, back to our weekly Q&A with Layla. What's next, Layla?
Okay, Rick writes, how much of the cancer from smoking conventional cigarettes could be due to the added chemicals versus the actual tobacco? In other words, how much less harm is there from organic cigarettes? Have you ever heard of an organic cigarette?
Oh, yeah. This is a controversy that I've been involved with almost since the beginning. Because when I first started practice, my practice wasn't called the Hoffman Center. It was called the Whole Life Medical Center. We actually were affiliated with a magazine in New York called the Whole Life Times. And so it was really kind of a cool name, the Whole Life Medical Center. And we were, you know, featured advertisement in the Whole Life Times. And there was there were advertisements that were appearing in the Whole Life Times for a type of, it was like a Native American cigarette that was like a pure...
Spirit
cigarette, yes.
Are they
right?
Spirit brands?
Yes,
yeah.
Spirit brand cigarettes. And so I and several of the sponsors who ran advertisements in that newspaper, we said, look, you've got to pull that ad because it's, you know, it's blood money. You're taking money from a sponsor who purports to be offering something safer. And in effect, you're condoning smoking, which is going to kill people. And that's blood money. So finally, under pressure from myself and from some of the other responsible advertisers, you know, at first the guy didn't want to give it up because he said, look, I'm barely, paying my bills. You know, these are valuable sponsors. We said, look, it's just not ethical. So finally, he refused to run those ads. Well, okay, flash forward, that's about 30 years ago. And flash forward to 2017. And lo and behold, there's an article in the New York Post, and I posted it on Facebook, and it's about this new phenomenon. And the new phenomenon is smoking among millennials. And the headline here from the New York Post is "Hip Health Freaks Think Smoking is Cool Again." And features a photograph of a gorgeous and scantily clad young woman lying on a towel. She looks like she's in some sort of ashram or some sort of meditation retreat. And she's got a cigarette in her hand. And what the article says is that clad in Gucci slip-ons and cutoffs, they're all smoking cigarettes.
Oh.
They aren't your standard health hippies. They're smoking a type of cigarette called Hestia. And they say this is like artisanal cigarettes. The company's small batch cigarillos are made with tobacco grown on organic farms in the South. And they're hand rolled. This sounds...
Oh my,
doesn't
they're
it
hand
sound,
rolled.
It's artisanal. They're hand rolled in retardant free natural papers with a non-toxic filter.
We'll have that with your craft beer. Okay.
And the guy, see, there are a lot of these people, these young people. This is the guy who runs this company is a 33-year-old ex-Wall Streeter who smoked cigars since he was 15. He says the cigarettes are made for people like him who eat kale and shop at Whole Foods, people who put care and intention in their bodies. Now, if you want a better example of gobbledygook, that's it. You know, it's...
Agreed.
You know, but interestingly, tobacco use in movies shot up 72% between 2010 and 2016.
I noticed that myself. Do you notice there's a whole lot more smoking going on in brand new TV shows and movies?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, to some extent, it's an insidious product placement by tobacco companies. Although they don't do cigarette ads anymore, they can sometimes place cigarettes into movies.
Right. The way we'll see a can of Coca-Cola or a can of chock full of nuts coffee sitting on a kitchen counter in a scene.
So listen to this rationalization. Yeah. They're quoting this beautiful young thing who says, people put a lot of things in their bodies that are very bad for them. The meditation practitioner who works in the art world says, I choose to smoke cigarettes. I know it's still a cigarette. I don't drink a lot. I think that balances it out. When people say, you shouldn't smoke so much, I'm like, you shouldn't drink so much. It's really bad for you.
Oh, my.
Or don't eat so much processed wheat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. That's absurd. Some people say, you know, what gives you cancer is just all the preservatives in the cigarettes and all the chemicals that they add. And it's true. That stuff's bad for you because it's added.
The cadmium, the arsenic. Yeah.
Well, they process the papers. They make it so they, you know, I think if you just rolled tobacco, your cigarette would burn down really fast. So they put some, I don't know, retardants to slow the burning of the cigarette. They put some flavoring agents in it. They put some, I don't know, whatever. And, you know, you don't
it's
need that extra
chemicals,
stuff.
It's chemicals, but it's still bad. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a burnt vegetable matter gives you lung disease, heart disease, and cancer.
Yeah.
End of story. You know, so.
It's self-polluting.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing is that, you know, cigarettes are so highly addictive that, you know, it's hard to moderate. I know that when I was a smoker for a few years in college, I mean, I was a pack-a-day guy. And so it was either pack-a-day or nothing. And I marvel at the people who can just say, oh, you know, at a party or something, oh, I'll smoke one. Okay. But, you know, mostly it's a gateway to a habit that is very, very hard to shake.
That's true.
So this
I quit myself in 1992 and I was a pack-a-dayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was never a social
smoker. Well, I told you that you just couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't smoke in the office, and that was it. You know, when you came to work for me, I just said, you know, just put those butts out, because I'm not going to stand for it when you know, started working for me back in.
No, I quit 25 years ago.
Okay. Good, because I haven't had any complaints from patients, so that's good.
Oh, good.
All right. So
yeah, that was me in the stairwell. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Believe me, there was a time where I would, you know, sneak a cigarette, and it was like a, you know, like a covert kind of thing, and, you know, so horrible. But, you know, youthful folly being what it is.
Right.
So, all right. So I think that suffices to answer that question. You know, that's pretty much where we stand.
Thank you, Rick. Don't smoke. Not even the organic cigarettes.
And, you know, this is just another pitch. So let's segue just briefly to the, using the vaping, because I see a lot of vaping too. And the problem with vaping is that, number one, you maintain your addiction to nicotine. And, you know, unless you're, you know, so you really don't extinguish that craving. And it's pretty easy to ask for a cigarette when you run out of vaping material. Also, kids who have trouble buying cigarettes have much freer access to vaping. So it's sometimes a gateway drug towards cigarette addiction. And B, you know, you still are smoking hot vapors with chemicals, and the devices heat to very high temperatures. And there's some concern about, you know, the metal ions and some of the plastic components of that delivery system.
I'd be afraid of the plastic components.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That may get into your system. And again, we don't have that long experience with vaping. It may be that we will see casualties emerging 5, 10, 15, 20 years later from vaping. It's really weird when you walk down the street, you see these people enveloped in a cloud of smoke. It's almost like, you know, you think they've stepped on one of those sewer manholes, you know, where the smoke is coming out of. You know, in New York, there's like these, these manholes where the steam is coming up. But no, they're vaping in a big cloud of smoke. And they go, no, but that's not cigarettes. I'm vaping. So whatever. Yeah. You know,
I don't like seeing that in a restaurant. I don't like seeing that in an establishment.
I think it's most places that prohibit smoking also prohibit vaping because it's a form of passive exposure to smoke, and it's different. It's not, you know, it's not burning like burning cigarette material, but it is. It's got an aroma, and it's got chemicals in it. It's got nicotine. Nonetheless, nicotine. Finally, nicotine is controversial because there are some harmful effects of nicotine. Nicotine tends to constrict the arteries and restrict circulation. But on the other hand, nicotine may actually work to prevent neurodegenerative disease. It's actually been suggested that it can slow progression to Parkinson's disease.
That's very interesting.
So there may be certain benefits.
There may be a place for nicotine.
As a medication, as a medication. Mm-hmm. That being said, don't inhale it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us. And thank you, Layla. And
thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Everybody, thank you for listening.
And keep enjoying your summers. We'll be with you next week for another Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.